I have a special greeting here from Mr. Hebert and his wife. They're out in Alberta, in the Platts. Rick and, keep forgetting his wife's name. Rick and Alice? No, doesn't sound right. Rick's wife. Anyway, special greetings for them, from them. They're going to be here ministering on the 24th of September. He's going to have some special number songs and a short message, so looking forward to hearing him. He's really a real blessing. Anyway, this morning, my message is going to have a bit of a short one. It's sort of an encouragement. It can be an encouragement. If you're born again, obviously it will be. If you're not, it's not going to be. I'm going to start out by saying, very often we stress personal relationships with Jesus. There is something, is that what God is looking for, a personal relationship with you? Well, the answer to that question is yes and no. The yes part is, for our benefit, it starts with us, a personal relationship. His idea is to have a relationship with the bride of Christ, the church. We are all members of one body, and that's the church. It's like me saying, I'd like to have a relationship with just my eyes. Well, unfortunately, there's more parts to the body than just the eyes. So he wants a relationship with the body of Christ. That's God's plan of a relationship with his bride. It does start with the individual, and once the individual's heart is to where it should be born again, and that's how the church is formed. We love their song they sang. The church, it's the power, the Holy Spirit that makes us one. And it's Satan that comes and brings division. So collectively, we're members of one body. But if we bite and devour one another, the Bible says, then we allow Satan to get the upper hand with us. And we shouldn't allow that. But before I get into this message, my message is a bit of two parts on who we are and what does God expect from us in these last days. But before we do, let's rise and ask the Lord for his blessings. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much again for your grace. I thank you for this place. I thank you that you have allowed us to come to gather up in an upper room, Lord Jesus, as your early church did. They gathered and they were of one spirit. They were of one mind. And they prayed in accordance, in one accord. Lord, let that come upon us again. Let that be part of us. Right now, Lord, this is what we ask for. Lord Jesus, there is something that separates us from all other religions, and that's the power of the Holy Ghost. Let it be manifest here this morning, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. You may be seated. There's a song that's been in my mind all morning, and it's just that we used to sing it back in the old full gospel days. If you're depressed, if you're down in the dumps, if you're have a spirit of heaviness, we used to sing, I think Isaiah has a verse according to, that goes with that scripture. It was called, "Put on the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God, pray in the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord." So there is something within us to overcome depression or a spirit of heaviness. It's the garment of praise. If you're down, try praising God. See what happens. I guarantee you, your inside and your mind is going to have a bit flip. You're gonna change. The attitude changes. A lot of times, it's our attitudes that are our problem. So start praising the Lord. If you see your situation isn't good, instead of getting angry at God or at whatever the situation is, choose to praise the Lord. Anyway, going into my message here, John 6, verse 47 is my theme. Actually, my message, if I would title it, would be, "You have eternal life." And this is what Jesus says here, John 6, verse 47. Says, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believes on me has everlasting life." Do you have everlasting life? If you believe in Jesus from your heart, you have everlasting life. Not you will, not you're going to, you have it. It's within you. The kingdom of God, it does not come with observation. It is within you. That's the promise from Jesus himself. I love that Jesus is the one who said that. And again, John 7, verse 37 and 38. In the last days, that great day of feast, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. There's another promise. So what's the great catch here? It's he that believes on me. Do we believe in him? This is what separates us from all other religions. There is life there. We serve a living Savior, a living God. But there is something about us recognizing that we have a deep need. When we recognize we have a deep need, that's what seems to kick God into action. That's what draws God towards us to help us fill that need. Because there's a spirit, in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus starts it with this verse. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God? When you recognize you're poor in spirit, that means you recognize you're lost. That's what that means. You're spiritually destitute. You need help. There is something that happens. If you question God, if you question whether you have a need or not, if there are any questions there in those regards, whether you need help, I question then whether you've ever gotten help. I saw my deep spiritual deprivation when I cried out to Jesus, and that's when he, in a split second, reached down and got my and saved me. That's what separates us from, again, all other religions. There is power there. There is power that we cannot even begin to explain. So today I want to encourage you this morning, if you truly believe in Jesus, if you are born again, and if you do keep falling into sin, keep getting up. It's the one that stays in the water, tries to tread the waters too long, that drowns. Keep getting up. We are not guaranteed not to fall into sin, to fall. Get up when you fall. Keep getting up. Dust yourself off. Keep on fighting. You keep on falling. Keep on getting up. Keep on fighting. The reason you do feel guilt is when you sin is because there's a spirit of God that is within you. It's the proof that the spirit of God is within you. It's because of that's what you feel when you do sin. You're sorry the moment you've done it. Even before you do it, sometimes you're already sorry. That's because there's a spirit within you. That's the Holy Spirit that is guiding you into all truths to get away from that. But don't walk the line too close to the edge. Get away from the edge as far as you can. But my question then, if you bear no shame or guilt when you do sin, then I am worried for you. Then that standard has not been put inside of you, that standard that God has raised up within you to put a check in you when you do fail. The question again is, are you guilty when you do sin or do things that you shouldn't do? If that guilt isn't there, then maybe the Holy Spirit isn't there. That's a question mark that you have to answer. Now, when you believe when you do believe in Jesus, the foundation is laid. It is laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ, and it is a sure foundation. That foundation nobody can break, and I'm going to be going to scriptures on that one. So let's look at what the Apostle Paul says about how to build upon that foundation. So in 1 Corinthians 3, 10 to 15, it says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, Paul speaking here, or writing, as a wise master builder, he says, I have laid the foundation. And again, the foundation is Jesus. And another man builds their own. But let every man take heed how he builds upon how he builds thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. Again, that's Jesus Christ. So the foundation, again, it is sure. But you have a choice on how you're going to build upon that foundation. Now, if any man build upon this foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, that's with good works, produced by the Holy Spirit and in God's plan. That's what this is. Or with wood, hay, stubble, that's your own works and your own efforts. Every man's work shall be made manifest. It's gonna be shown. For the day will declare it. That's the last day will declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. It will be tried. Even the test of time will try your work. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, if it stays, which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. This is about rewards. The foundation is the gift that has been given you. That's Jesus Christ. But there are rewards for what you did in this life. When you come to heaven, you're either going to be driving on rollerblades or on a sports car, an expensive one, depending on how much you have sent there for your reward. That's a joke, by the way. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss. You will get nothing. But he himself, that's your whole, your spirit, your soul will be saved, yet so as by fire. And this fire is God's penetrating ice that will try every man's work of what sort it was. And I truly believe the precious stone, wood, hay, the precious stones, the gold, silver, and precious stones here is working for the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit, being in his will, being where he wants you to be, but working the work through the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to get into that a little bit here. There's a scripture in Hebrews 10, 27. This is what God expects from us now, what we're in now. And there's a reason for it. It says that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. That's very, very important in these last days. And so much more as you see that day approaching, as the danger is going to encroach in on us. We need, if they are planning another lockdown, we need not to stop together. We need to stay together and fight this. If we bow down, we are part of the problem. Amen. We need to rise up and stand up. And stand up for Christ. And just stick to the one thing. We're doing this to preach the gospel and tell people about Jesus. This is nothing about anything else. This is the order being given us by Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, which in my opinion is the Apostle Paul, as he says, we should not forsake the assembly. And as we see that day approaching, as you see it approaching, dig in more, come together, regardless of what they say. We are of no good alone. We are collectively the power. You, everybody here is part of the body of Christ. I need you as much as you need me. We need each other to make up this body, but we have to be in unity. We have to strive together as a unit. Separated, we are like a thick rope. One strand is useless. You put them all together into a tight rope. What have you got? You cannot even tear that rope apart. That's how tightly wound that rope is and how powerful. So let's say this crisis does arise again. If a crisis comes again, let's say like another lockdown, whatever it is, whatever the crisis is, I'm not even going to put a name on it. Whatever the crisis is it personal? Is it in your life? Or is it a big overall crisis in the whole country? When it does arise, and then then will I believe? Then will I fight and stand? Well, the truth is, a crisis only reveals what is already in you. It's already there. You're going to do already. The crisis is only going to bring that out. So if you're not going to do now, if we're not going to gather together now, what makes you think you're going to do it when time is going to get tough? And that is especially for the people who say, oh, when the tribulation comes, then will I preach the gospel. Well, if you're not doing it now, you will not do it then. The moment is now. Today is the day. Today is the day. Peter, let's go to Peter, what he said. He, not only him, but all the disciples said, we will not deny you. And the Bible says they all agreed to that. Yes, we will not deny you. But Peter, when he actually came, he was warming himself by the fire. He got angry with the last one. He even cursed. He says, I do not know that man. I have never known him. I don't know who you're talking about. I do not know him. He was talking about Jesus. And immediately when he did that, it tore his heart. But let's look at what happened later on. When they were in that upper room, there was something about them there that was unified. They lifted their voices together. They were a unit. And that's when You read of the account of how he denied Christ, and then later how that first assembly, when they assembled in that upper room, how the power of God filled them up, and the rest is history. They changed the course of human history with the power of the Holy Ghost, that the great Constantine had to make religion or Christianity the law of the religion of the land just to stop the explosion of it. Remember when Paul said, if I add one law to this message, then persecution ceases. If you add anything to the cross of Christ, you're taking and making the message null and void. So any religion out there that adds other things to the cross of Christ, you are basically watering it down and making it without effect. The power of the cross of Christ needs no help. It has the power to change every life if we only dare to say we are poor in spirit. Then he will do the work. The Lord bless you with this.
Hallelujah. James had a nice message. I love it when it says, no other foundation can no man lay except that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. How do you build on that? Each and every one has to figure that one out. So a relationship will guide you into how to build on that foundation. And a lot of Christians today just live. There's no rhyme. Sports is more important, or their work. Call, like John Hagee said, call a prayer meeting. You need hound dogs to bring them. Call a barbecue. You need traffic cops to direct the traffic. Is that how human beings are? Seems like it. We are pathetic at best, those who aren't serious with God. Anyway, for those who were here and listened to my message on the seals that were opened by the precious Lamb, and he walked up to the one that was on the seat, and he took the first seal and he opened it. I'm going to focus on the guy who wrote out on the first horse all the way through the Bible. Revelation is like a spoke, a wheel. It can start in the center and go all the way out to the end. Sometimes it doesn't, but in most cases, that's what happens. God will start a subject and go all the way to the end. And you have to fill in between what happened. And this is what I'm going to do. Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. And I saw the Lamb open one of the seals. Remember the hundreds of thousands of people that were around the throne where the seal was taken from, where the book that was taken from the one on the throne, it had seals, seven seals. And I heard the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw and behold a white horse. What did the white horse do? He that sat on him had a bow, no arrows. A bow signifies something. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth to conquering and to conquer. What was that bow? It's a sign of peace. It's not ready to use force yet. And I will now go to Daniel, where it explains, and I'll use the King James Version plus the Living Bible, on how the guy operated. See, everybody's afraid. Are we in the tribulation yet? No, we're not. Whatever mark you tick on your hand or whatever card you tick, that does signify the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast will be given only to those who willingly take it. It's not going to be a fool thing. We're fooling you into you. Either you take the mark of the beast or you lose your head. What will it be? You got your choice. I have made my choice already. I'm not going there. Hallelujah. I'm going to escape that awful time of persecution. It says, Daniel chapter 8 in verse 23, in the latter times when their kingdoms, when the transgressions are come to the full, the king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. What is he talking about? Remember, there were four kingdoms, the Babylonians, the Medo-Persians, they lasted for a while. Then we had the Greeks, and then we had the Romans. The Roman Catholics, they changed their name to the Roman Catholics. They are still in control of a lot of what's going on right now. They tried to make a one world government and a one world religion. It says when their kingdom is finished, when it had reached its pinnacle of sin, God is going to shut them down, each and every one, and another one starts. But the last one, the Roman one, there's a scripture that says, he was and is not and shall be again. That means the Roman Empire were, and then they kind of became obscured and they rose up again through this Antichrist. So we will see that. And the power shall be given, but not his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully. Sometimes I wonder what kind of words the King James Version uses. And shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. He will cause craft to prosper. Watch this. Daniel chapter 8 and verse 23, 25. And through his policies also he shall cause craft to prosper in the land. Is Trudeau making craft to prosper? Hands down, everybody. There's no such a thing as Trudeau prospering Canada. Is Biden prospering the Americans? Absolutely not. He's destroying it. So it can't be those two guys. But they're working what they should do. They're trying to push the Antichrist's agenda. But it'll be pushed back. As Hitler was pushed back, so will these despots that are now in power. They will all be pushed back. They will try to bring back the mask mandate. They will try the vaccine again, but this time many people are wised up. It's not going to fly. By peace he shall destroy many, and shall also stand up against the prince of peace, but the prince of princes. but he shall be broken without hand. I'm going to switch to the Living New Testament and read it in our language on what the Antichrist will do. It says, at the end of their rule, when their sin is at its height, a fierce king and a master of intrigue will rise to power. At the end of those rules, a fierce king will rise. He'll be one person. By the end, that'll be three. It'll be the devil, the Antichrist, and the image of the beast, which today could very well be this smart intelligence they're coming up with. So keep your ears, your eyes opening. You may see it coming into being, where we will witness some of that stuff. He will become very strong, but not his own power. He will cause a shocking amount of destruction and succeed in everything he does. He will destroy powerful leaders and devastate who? The holy people. Anybody who becomes a Christian during the tribulation, there's gonna be destruction left and right. There's a scripture that says if Daniel will pray for them, God will not listen. They will have to carry their own iniquity, repent of it, and turn to God. No amount of prayer from anybody will change nothing. So each and every person has to make that decision for himself. It's not going to be a mother making a decision for her daughter or a father for her son. Each and every one will have to make that decision. And he will be a master at deception, and he will become arrogant. He will destroy many without warning. He will even take on, listen to this idiot, he will even take on the prince of princes in battle, but he will be broken through, though not by the human power. Jesus is coming back, and the Antichrist with his hordes will try to stop him. Very, very interesting. Why would somebody that is created trying to take on his creator? He's got not too much time left. That's his only hope he's got. He'll try to take on the prince of princes. Now listen what happens here. This is what I like. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. There's animals in heaven. If you got horses, they'll be there. Hallelujah. I used to tease my wife on this, and she doesn't quite agree. And I tell her, listen, I like horses, they'll be there. I like dogs, they'll be there. I don't know if cats will be, but horses and dogs for sure. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteous he does judge and make war. And his eyes were a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written which no man knew but himself. So he's coming out of heaven on a white horse. Who's riding with him? It's not written down here. I didn't put it in on purpose. Who's coming back with this Jesus? The church of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ. It's not the bride of Christ anymore. It's the wife of Christ. You remember, they had 7 years of having a celebration of getting married to the bridegroom. It's going to be awesome. Read these things, and you will see what's in store for us. It's almost unbelievable what's in store for us. And it says in Revelation 19, verse 15, and out of his mouth goes a sharp sword with which he will smite the nation, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. The Bible teaches that the blood will flow to the horses' bridles, and it'll flow for 200 miles. That's how many people will die when Jesus comes back. It is written. I didn't write it. It is written, and that's what's going to happen. He threaded the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God. God will be fierce. He'll not come riding down from heaven on a donkey, that's for sure. He will have a white war horse. And hallelujah, we will be riding those horses with him. And he, it says, the fierceness of his wrath of the Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. What? Let's read it together. It's up here. Where is it? King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Let's do it again. King of kings, Lord of lords. One more time, loud now. I want to hear you. My hearing isn't that good. So give me a shout. King of kings, Lord of lords. Hallelujah. That's our God. And guess what? We will be part of him. We're going with him. We're going to spend our eternity rejoicing with the one who saved us at the cross. Young people, do you want this Jesus? Just say yes. You want this Jesus? There's one shaking his head. Yes, I do. Hallelujah. I'm looking through the crowd. How many want this Jesus? How many's got this Jesus? All of them pretty well. Hallelujah. Honor him. Honor him. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. But if you build on that foundation, on this Christ, with wood, hay, or stubble, you shall suffer loss. Not your salvation, but you will suffer losing crowns, losing power. But if you build with gold, silver, and what else is there? Precious stones. That means the good things in heaven. God will reward you with that. And if God says we should honor him, work for him, he knows something that we don't know, which our understanding cannot comprehend. So give your life and heart to this Lord. And let me tell you, as you get older, the Bible says, seek the Lord in your youth. And when you're old, you'll have him. So put your heart into his heart. Put your hand into his hand. And God will lead you for the rest of eternity. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you and make you a blessing. Amen.